Welcome to the beginning of the super terrific happy hour.
Super terrific
happy hour.
Happy hour.
A bunch of us are talking about happy hour.
Yes, welcome to episode 74 of Super Terrific Happy Hour. My name is Matt Neal. I'm the movie reviewer here at the Warrnambool Standard. I'm joined by a fellow film buff, Jono Peck.
Star Wars.
And a very special guest podcaster here at 3 a.m. in the morning. Yes, that was when 3 a.m. usually is. Gareth Colleton, artist, Star Wars enthusiast, and general all-round good guy. Welcome, Gareth.
That's all I've got.
Okay, cool. So we've just been to see Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
World premiere.
Pretty much. It's basically, they premiered in Warrnambool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
it's really good.
It is really good.
It's a big call right off the bat.
Yeah.
Who's going to argue?
Well, certainly not me. First of all, we have to say there's going to be some serious spoilers going on.
This like, will be spoilerific.
Spoilers up the wazoo. There's no way to talk about this film without going full spoiler.
If you haven't seen it, pause, go watch it, and then come back. Just play again.
The short version is, it's really good. Yeah. You should go and see it. And that's probably all you can listen to if you don't want spoilers. But from now on, we're going to have to talk about spoilers.
Yes.
Where the hell do we start?
The return of Jar Jar Binks.
That was the big thing that got me.
I think we should say that Matt is like a super duper mega Star Wars fan.
Mm.
I would have described myself as a casual Star Wars fan.
Mm.
But then when that, like, you know, the text comes up at the start of the movie, I realized that...
You wet your pants.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Star Wars.
Mm. Just like, a soft spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, like everyone, I guess.
I had a hard spot for it.
And so where would you classify yourself?
Well, I didn't think I was such a big nerd until about 10 p.m. tonight. And I found myself getting really, really worked up and nervous about it being terrible and excited about it being good. So I think I might have gone up a level in my nerdiness.
Yeah, I'm out and proud. I've been a massive Star Wars fan. I mean, I've written Jedi as my religion on at least two censuses, and it dominated a large part of my life for probably about 5 years. I like was really, really hardcore into it, but this afternoon I wasn't going to watch any of the old ones beforehand, but then it got to about 9:30 and I went, no, I have to watch Return of the Jedi. Yeah, and
that would have been a good one to lead into.
Yeah, and I'm so glad I did. And it got me really worked up for it. I was kind of like in the cinema and didn't really want to talk to anyone about everyone. I knew so many people walking around.
Yeah.
And
If you'd watched A New Hope, then you would have watched the same movie twice almost.
Oh, see, this was what I came out of there thinking. I thought this felt like a reboot.
Yeah. Everything. I liked everything about this movie. The music was great. Costumes and the special effects and the designs were like aesthetically awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And something that was new in a Star Wars movie, there was really good acting in this movie, I thought. Like Adam Driver and Han, and just I thought they were really good.
Yeah, I think everyone was great except for Domhnall Gleeson, who plays General Hux. I thought he was particularly bad.
Is he the ginger?
Yeah, the ginger general.
Bad moments, definitely.
Yeah, he was bad. But otherwise,
the
cast uniformly were fantastic.
He came into his own at the moment where he was being Hitler.
Yes. It was the bit when he was actually good. The rest of it, he didn't know what the hell he was doing.
There was a solid Nazi reference in that moment.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of Nazi references. We did a predictions podcast talking about that, like the flamethrowers and the, the symbols and the. They even put their fist in the air.
Yeah. Do we liken Jews to Ewoks in that podcast, or what was it? I can't remember what the upshot of that was.
What was that?
That doesn't matter.
The Ewok gas chambers.
Yes.
And Finn's black, and he got kicked out, kind of. Well, he didn't feel comfortable with the.
That was interesting because in the lead up in the prequels, it was all New Zealand people. And all of a sudden, it's people that were stolen from their families and things.
It's a stolen generation of stormtroopers. Yeah, no more clones.
It's interesting. He didn't even have a name.
No,
FN
number. Yeah.
Can I go back to a thing that you mentioned? You mentioned about the aesthetic of it, and that was something I really, really liked. They returned to the spirit of the early 70s look, They actually returned all the computers to almost dot matrix kind of graphics.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting choice.
Flashing like lights
it,
and
big dials. It reminded me of, you know, yeah, Tron and all that kind of old school.
Yeah, although hologram technology has improved apparently by this film.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is good.
That surprised me. I was like, who is this giant man?
Yeah.
And how's he not like...
Why does he look a little bit kind of odd, like bad CG?
And then
you get...
Yeah, it's a hologram.
Yeah. But can we go back to your first point, though, about how the beats of this film, how this is...
Mm.
In if you were going to remake A New Hope, this is kind of what you'd do.
Yes, yeah. You have the droid with the plans escaping from the
stormtroopers. Droid has secret lands on Sandy Planet.
Yeah.
found by...
A Jedi.
Well, yeah. Someone with force powers whose lineage is unknown.
Mm. Yep. Then stumbles across a wise older person that takes them under their wing. Leads them to...
Flees from the sandy planet on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
that actually happens.
After going to... And then they go to a cantina as well.
They did. There was a cantina scene. Although that was a little later in the film.
But it's not the 1970s now, so you can't have a damsel in distress. You have to have the girl pointing out that she doesn't need your help. Yeah. She doesn't need you to hold her hand.
Yeah. But how cool is her character?
Yeah, amazingly. She's awesome.
That
I was so stoked when, like... Finn was way overpowered by Kylo Ren in that lightsaber battle because it didn't make any sense for them to have a fair fight.
No.
And then for her to pick up the lightsaber, that was like a good moment, I thought. And they did a good job with this trailer. This makes me feel so pleased with the way they did that trailer where they put in so many great moments, but they held enough back that there were still some big surprises in this movie.
Yeah, some massive surprises. But because we kept seeing Finn with a lightsaber, we kept thinking,
oh, he's the Jedi. Yeah. And then it's her.
Did you watch a lot of the trailers, Gareth, beforehand?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Pretty much everything you could watch.
There was a point where I was thinking, I've seen half the film. Yeah. So there was the Japanese trailer. I didn't watch that.
I stopped after the second big one.
Yeah.
Probably the same. And like the catwalk with Han and Kylo talking to each other. We didn't see anything from that. And we didn't see anything really inside the base. Without running around.
Oh, well, there's another direct kind of plot point from A New Hope. It's basically a Death Star. But a much more intelligent way of building a Death Star would be to take a planet and turn it into a weapon rather than just try and build one from scratch, which the Empire did twice and it didn't work out very well.
They learned a few things along the way, obviously.
Plus
manpower required, probably.
Mm.
Tradies.
Contractors. Yeah.
Yes. That's a whole other thing, isn't it?
Is that from Clerks?
Or that's from Clerks. Yeah. I really like the... just the way that this villain was portrayed, like he had a rage about him. He was kind of an immature Sith.
Yeah, that was another return, the humor as well. So the rage was often balanced immediately by a little bit of humor straight away, which was nice.
He has a little
tantrum,
forced tantrum, and then the two stormtroopers walking down the corridor just decide, I don't want to go anywhere near what's going on there.
That was fantastic.
All right, we're jumping around all over the place. Let's talk about Kylo Ren. Let's talk about the big bad in it. He's one of like. Four kind of villains, three villains have popped up through it, but he is a really interesting villain.
Mm,
we haven't seen a villain like this in Star Wars before. You know, he's got the mask and he's obviously in love with the myth of Vader.
And he's got a bit of an inferiority complex from the look of it.
Yeah, which is a bit different. And he's got some real anger management problems.
Because he grew up looking like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah. I think he's kind of become... the leader of that group by default because there's no one else. Does that make sense? Because he was training under... It seems that he was training under Luke and was taken over to the dark side.
Yeah.
There's not really any other Siths jumping around from what we know.
Yeah, he seems to be the lone...
Yeah, and he's learning underneath this hologram dude. What was his name?
Snoke. Supreme Leader,
yeah. Yeah. Who was obviously the bastard child of Lord Voldemort and Prometheus.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that's Andy Serkis.
Oh, okay.
I think that's him. That's his motion capture.
I didn't see his name in the credits.
Role. Yeah, I saw his name there, but I didn't see it in the bit next to it, the name Snoke, but I assume that's him.
Right. How did you guys feel about this character?
About Snoke or Kylo Ren?
Snoke. Sorry, so I've jumped into Snoke now, but yeah.
Well, Snoke's just... like the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back at this stage.
We don't know much about him.
We've only seen him in a hologram. We know he's in charge of things, but yeah. we don't know his full yeah. deal at this stage.
Okay, that's because I was less forgiving. I thought the mammoth scale of him and all of that, mm-hmm. I felt like there was no way to connect. Usually with the Emperor, you've got this, at least this human, and he represents, you know, all the bad bits of you. There's some sort of weird connection you can forge, but with a giant alien who's sort of four stories tall.
Mm. But we kind of had that in Empire Strikes Back. First time we see the Emperor, and
he was this tall. He was like a foot high though. The first time we see him, wasn't he?
Yeah,
like a little tiny. He's up on a.
I thought he was a tiny. Or maybe that was later on. He was like a tiny projection.
Yeah, and before they dubbed in Ian McDiarmid playing a character in Empire, it was originally some dude with sort of like weird eyes. Looked like the Emperor, but kind of a bit different. But it was a very inhuman kind of look to a character, and I think this is the same kind of thing. I think they're kind of doing the same thing.
They're holding back a bit of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Character development to look out for.
Yes.
Okay.
But Kylo, like as I was saying, I think he seems like the only like Sith that's there, and in that regard, he's still kind of learning. He's not that powerful at all. Like. He has obviously a lot of midichlorians.
No, that word is banned. We don't say that word.
He has a lot of midichlorians.
Oh, he just had to.
The way that he stopped that laser in the first scene was really cool.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he was overpowered by this woman who just discovered that she had the Force.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she got to handle it pretty quickly, didn't she?
Yeah, she got the better of him. And even Finn got in a few shots, and he has no Force abilities that we know of.
Mm.
But I don't know if he was maybe toying with him or what, but.
Well, Kylo Ren was wounded at that stage already. Yes. Yeah.
And I think that Chewie was able to get that shot in because he was emotionally drained from killing his father.
Oh, yeah.
What a moment.
I think we need to go to that.
Bit.
Yeah.
Did anyone
see that coming?
Yeah. As soon as he stepped up, he made that choice to not walk away, I was like, oh, no. Even though I predicted ages ago that Han would die in this movie because Harrison Ford wanted him to be killed off in Jedi.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it. I knew it was going to happen, but
I just didn't think they would actually go there. I just kind of thought that Harrison Ford is worth too much to the franchise. I just kind of went there. And Han Solo is such a pivotal character.
Mm.
They won't kill him off. That's what film kills off such a major character.
But this is what happened. They used him a lot. In this movie, I was thinking, wow, he's in this more than I think. And when he was standing there in front of him, I thought, we need to know how bad this bad guy is. And how can they do that? It's by killing our favorite character in this film.
Well, our favorite character in the whole of the Star Wars saga. Yeah,
of movies.
Well, he's regularly voted in like the top three or four characters of all time.
And the thing is, like, as
that's
as,
a really good
as,
point.
As much as you wanted him to say, let's go home, Dad.
Mm.
That would have been pretty anticlimactic for the new villain to just pack it in and become a good guy in the first of the new trilogy.
Mm.
So it had to happen.
And it was a good moment. It was well done. A little bit overwrought, but you know, the Han Solo reaching out and just touching his face as he's dying, just to let him, you know, it's a bit of I love you anyway.
I thought that was a nice touch. And that was kind of like, there's good in you.
Yes.
And it's planting a seed for later on. For someone else, probably Luke or...
It is, because we've left...
Or his sister, which is my other theory, to bring him back, which...
So you're still holding on to the thing that Rey is...
Is the daughter of the Solos.
Right.
Or the Solo Fortunas.
Solo Organa.
Organa's. Yeah. Fortuna was another character.
How did they not know about her, though? Like, at least with Luke and Leia, everybody kind of knew...
I don't know. My theory is that maybe they were told that she was dead or something.
Leia accidentally dropped a baby.
No, like, they did the whole, like, oh, we're going to send Luke to this planet to protect him. We're going to send our daughter to this planet. And what's she waiting for? Like, she has a purpose on that planet. She's waiting for someone to come and get her.
Which is what they did with Luke.
Yeah. Which is kind of what I thought she was referring to. And I kept expecting Leia or someone to say, like, I'm your mom, or I'm your dad, or whatever. And
this is the big moment in the sequel. In episode 8, is going to be Rey, I am your mother.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, it might happen. Yeah. That was Empire, wasn't it? Where
Yeah, well, if they're following the same beats.
Yeah, and then if they're following the same beats, like I was saying, that's when she, or maybe it's I'm your brother. Maybe it's Kylo saying it to her, I'm your brother.
Right, yeah.
And then okay. in the third one, mm. she brings him back to the good side at the very end. Like
or Luke. Just kills him.
Or kills him.
Yeah, but he kind of redeems himself at the end.
I can't see JJ doing beat for beat for each of the three movies. He has to waver off at some point. But
the thing about that is that the way the film flowed, it made it feel really familiar by them doing all those things. So it made it feel like the old film. It was a good way to win your trust back after all of the prequel crap. Mm. And the other thing about this too is it makes the prequels look like it's a whole another level of film above the prequels. As much as you try and forgive the prequels somewhat by going, oh, there's cool bits in there, it's okay, it's Star Wars, it's okay. You look at this film and you go, wow, that just took a massive dump all over the prequels. It just leaves it for dead. They're not even in the same ballpark of film. This has, like you pointed out, real acting. Mm. It has characters with proper arcs and flaws and interesting aspects to them. I mean, like Kylo Ren is a really well-rounded villain. Rey is a fascinating character. Finn is a fascinating character.
Yeah, very.
Finn's a traitor. That was quite interesting. And that picked up on something that was from A New Hope that was cut and left on the editing room floor, wasn't it?
What was that?
Luke's buddy who was a stormtrooper.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Biggs.
Biggs was a stormtrooper, and then became a traitor. And I thought that was interesting because JJ's obviously, the scriptwriter, has picked up on that thread and really run with it. And that was actually a very interesting start to the film.
I really liked the humanizing of the stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Like in that first scene, kind of before you realize that it's Finn, he's hesitating to kill people and he's, you know, his friend's dying in his arms and all that. And then he just kind of goes off and kills 100 stormtroopers after that.
Yeah, that did kind of irk me a little bit, that when he decides to break Poe out of detention and then they're fleeing and he has no qualms with just killing all the rest of these people. He obviously had spent a lot of time with Ryan. He's probably known them for years and years.
That's his family. He grew up in training camp with them.
But he had no problems with just slaying a lot of them.
Yeah.
But they did all die quite uniquely. They all, there was a lot of effort put into the way they fell rather than just sort of going, ugh.
Stormtrooper deaths have improved over the last 20 years.
Certainly improved.
And so was their shooting. They actually hit a few people.
They did. Yeah. Although I did think a few times, wow, stormtroopers really still can't shoot.
Mm.
Like Rey fleeing through the forest and they're just pegging away and missing.
While she's learning how to use a gun.
Yeah, and just drilling all of them. Yeah.
But she has the force.
So, true. That's kind of the out for everything is.
Yeah.
But she has a force.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like well, when she flies the Falcon for the first time.
Yeah, she didn't know what she was doing and then she figured it out.
Yeah.
Force.
It's great.
Can I mention another couple of spoilers that I noticed? These are really big and important to me.
Mm.
So Millennium Falcon, the round satellite dish that Han Solo knocked off in the Return of the Jedi.
That Lando knocked off.
Oh, sorry, Lando knocked off. Yeah, yeah. It's been replaced by a square one.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And Nian Nam's head seems to have grown.
Oh, he's substantially. Maybe he's like an animal that just grows as he gets older and older. Like a turtle.
Sorry, I missed that. Whose head?
Nian Nam, the guy with the big
wolf. The fish guy.
No, not the fish guy, that's Admiral Ackbar.
He's a different kind of fish. He's gotten, they're kind of gilly.
He looks like a cooked lobster now. Yeah. But that might be the way that these species age.
Yeah.
I figured I put that down to. Nian Nam had an extremely large head.
I always pronounce his name Nine Nub.
Nine Nam?
Is that the same
character? I'm still pronouncing it like I did in 1985.
So are we sure that's the same Sulistan? I believe that's his race.
Sulistan,
yeah. Wow. Are we sure that's the same one or not just another Sulistan?
Oh, I'm assuming. Yeah, they were all hanging out together in that war room.
Because we kind of assumed that was Admiral Ackbar.
Yeah.
But it could be another Mon Calamari.
What's a trap? Are they actually called
calamari? They're called Mon Calamari. Or Mon Calamari, maybe. But
Calamari.
Oh, George.
The character Maz? Muzz?
Hans, yeah.
Maz, I think it was.
Mm.
She was really cool. Had her cantina.
Oh,
the cantina runner, yeah.
Little girl.
I felt sorry for her place getting destroyed.
Yeah. After being there for like 1,000 years, apparently.
She was the other significant CG moment that was a bit disturbing. And I did, when she first came on, I thought, oh, here's our Jar Jar Binks moment.
Oh, okay.
But she was okay.
She wasn't that over the top or anything.
No.
I think she could be like the Yoda.
Well, yeah, I think there's a definite Yoda
something
moment.
Like she knows more than she's letting on.
Well,
like,
how does she? How the hell does she end up with a lightsaber that has been missing since Empire Strikes Back?
Mm.
Oh, it's the blue one.
Yeah.
That was weird, wasn't it? Because that was an Empire Strikes Back moment too. That was actually...
It fell out into the Cloud City.
Yeah. Oh,
into the nothingness.
There was a whole expanded universe bunch of stuff that dealt with that. But yeah, Matt, we don't... Yeah, sorry. I'm not allowed to talk about that anymore.
That's not canon.
Yeah, so not allowed to talk about that anymore. So yeah, I mean, that's... Didn't no one else... And what's the go with the whole, like, touching the lightsaber and then suddenly...
She had the Force.
Well, it reminds me of the bit where Yoda's training Luke and Luke ends up chopping Darth Vader's head off in a hole. And
yeah, that was her cave moment. Mm, yeah,
it was her cave moment.
Mm.
Yeah, facing herself or whatever it was and all of her fears. And...
Some foreshadowing of future events in that movie.
But it was... But she was seeing memories that she didn't have.
Yeah, but there was also stuff like meeting Kylo Ren in the forest and that was later on in the movie.
Yeah.
But it was the memories of Luke...
Oh, well, I assume,
getting attacked or...
Yeah, I assume that was from Kylo Ren just wrecking up the place when he left Luke's Jedi Academy. I assume that was kind of parts of that. So
whatever Maz is serving in that cantina, I want some.
It's some good stuff. Because there was a reggae band playing
in the cantina.
It's because they're brother and sister. That's why she has his memories.
Right. He's dead set on that, yeah.
The twins, like in the expanded universe.
I just don't understand how Leia and Han Solo could have lost a baby.
Or it's all part of deliberately dump one on a deserted or favorite deserted planet.
If she's not related to the Solo or Gunners, where does she fit in? Because she obviously is connected somehow.
I reckon she's Luke's daughter, and there was a moment where she first sees Leia, and I was almost expecting her to go, "Auntie Leia." Not really. Yeah. But
they did kind of share a moment there at the end.
I guess they could be in the weird epilogue
at the end of the film, which I don't think we needed. No. And just kind of just go, I don't know, Mark Hamill's name's on the credits. We have to put him in the film somewhere.
God, that was horrible, actually. That last moment was really disturbing.
It was just a bit too long.
Yeah, you could have edited half the film out by just not having the helicopter flying around Mark Hamill on top of a mountain.
It just needed a cut when he just pulled the thing back and he went, oh, yeah, it's Mark Hamill. And then,
I wouldn't have minded if he just had one line. Like, I've been waiting for you. Or something, you know.
Something to explain why he was just standing moodily on the mountaintop doing nothing, facing into nowhere.
It's like the next line's going to be, yes.
Can I help you?
Why are we staring at each other?
Have you heard about...
Are you here to tell me about Amway or Jesus? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Have you heard about the Force?
That's rough.
Yeah.
It got a bit awkward. She was just holding this lightsaber out for ages. And then it was really intense close-ups of his, like, the Mark Hamill trademark. Actually, it'll be a meme tomorrow. That moment will be a meme.
Mark Hamill's blank expression.
Yeah.
I'm so glad we watched this tonight so we don't have to worry about spoilers for, like, the next week or so.
I've been really scared about getting on Facebook for the last 2 days. I'm more scared than usual, actually. Okay. But, yeah, I really didn't want anything spoiled, which is ironic because we're just doing a spoiler cast. But I'm so glad I didn't know any of that stuff.
Mm.
Like, everyone's going to be going around going, Han Solo dies, yeah. Han Solo dies. Oh, that just would kill it for me.
Yeah. But we can't, I feel like it was a foregone conclusion.
Yeah,
that was one of the things that we talked about and we said, Han's going to die, Luke's going to come in at the end of the movie.
Mm.
We didn't predict that, did you?
Yeah, I said that.
Oh,
because he's not in the trailer. They're going to be looking for him. They're going to find him at the end. I said that.
I'm sure. I thought you said he was going to be the big bad.
No. I definitely wasn't.
Okay. I can't even remember that predictions podcast.
Because we knew that Adam Driver was Kylo Ren.
That's been known for a long time.
I didn't know that he was the son. That's interesting. That was an interesting move.
Yeah.
It gave Han a much bigger role in this movie than I was expecting as well.
Yeah.
How do we feel about Han and Leia's relationship?
Yeah, where it's sitting in this film. I liked what they did with that.
Same. Because the easy thing would have been the easy thing to have done would have been, we've been together all this time. Yeah. We still argue a bit, but you know, it's like an old married couple. When it's more like an old divorced couple, which is far more interesting from a plot perspective.
Yeah.
And character development.
Yeah, it kind of worked because they did seem to have. They've lost that chemistry that they used to have, I think. I don't think they can force that anymore.
And they were very different to each other, like they came from different places. And when things went bad with, you know, the sun killing people and turning to the dark side, they went there several ways. Yeah.
Well, that's a big thing that, you know, after like losing a child.
Yeah.
You know,
the parents have trouble with that often.
Yeah, yeah. And it's what you think. Yeah, yes, well, to the sea. How very well understated.
No, like it makes things hard between the parents.
Yeah, and they often can split up.
Yeah,
like, yeah.
What do we think of the Luke starting up a new Jedi Academy thread? Is that why? That's why it presumably disappeared. It didn't work out.
Well, that's what, yeah, because Kylo Ren kind of flipped out and went dark and killed everyone.
So what? Luke's like gone emo about it. He's
makes sense.
Secluded.
What else do you do? Like, his skill set wasn't really applicable to any other job, was it?
Well, he was a really good pilot, though.
Oh, yeah.
He was the best bush pilot around before he became a Jedi.
Just wasn't enough for him anymore, though, was it?
Well, he found a greater calling, I suppose. You know.
But if you look at what Leia's doing, she's trying to make a difference with the Resistance. And Luke's just doing a Ben Kenobi in hiding. Is that what you think's happening?
He's kind of doing a Ben Kenobi. I didn't even think about that.
After he
lost Anakin, I'm assuming he just went into hiding.
That's what all we've been led to believe at this point.
Yeah.
He's even grown out the beard.
Yeah. So Luke's just enjoying his hermitude.
Mm.
He's like, screw this whole Force caper. I'm not cut out for this. I'm going to go and sulk on an island.
But
rocks. I think that's what he was doing, wasn't it?
Like building stairs. I think he's been building stairs
and stacking rocks. He wasn't even hanging out his washing room. He was just standing there staring off with a hood on. Like,
it'd be great if the next movie started and he was just crazy. Like, just mental. He's gone nuts.
That would be great. I mean, he's got like Yoda. Like when he first found Yoda, you know, he was a bit bonkers.
Yeah.
Although that was kind of a bit of a ruse.
It was, yeah.
So she says, "Hi, I've got your lightsaber," and he says, "Oh, great, would you like to see my collection of fingernails? I've been collecting them for 30 years in jars."
I've been writing in the walls of my own feces for a long time.
I thought it was strange how quickly Chewbacca got over the death of Han, given their strong bond. He was off flying the plane with Rey at the end of the movie.
What's he going
to
do?
I expected him to be sulking and, you know, sitting in a bar throwing back shots or something.
Oh, yeah. Wait to see him drunk.
That's like more, tearing the limbs off people, I think.
Just like going nuts. Like, not just like, all right, let's fire up the Millennium Falcon.
Oh, see, here I was thinking, who's gonna kill Kylo Ren at the end? Is it going to be Luke? That's kind of obvious. Maybe it's Leia. No, what if it's Chewie?
That would be epic.
Chewie brings down the big evil Jedi.
He almost did. Yeah.
Took a big chunk out of him. I like the effects that they had in this movie for when people were hit by lasers or lightsabers. It would kind of glow inside their body.
Yeah. And actually get thrown back by the force of laser bolts. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was very physical. So this movie had an M rating, unlike the other Star Wars movies.
Or Revenge of the Sith had an M rating.
Okay, because of the younglings.
Yeah, and I think because Anakin is left largely limbless and prominently disfigured at the end of it.
Yeah.
So was this the most violent of the Star Wars films? Do you think it earned its M rating?
That's interesting. I didn't particularly see it.
Well, you're a parent. You wouldn't have any issues with taking your kids to that, would you?
To that one?
So M is recommended 15 plus, but it's like not restricted 15 plus, like MA. So
I'm a bit strange in this way. So I don't like to see my kids get desensitized to just death and destruction all over the place. And this was really interesting because of that thing we spoke about where Finn is humanizes all stormtroopers right at the start of the film. You're suddenly aware that they're actually people, and then when they die, you see them die quite graphically. In a sense, you know, they're being flung around, and it's much more rather than the spaghetti western where they just get shot and fall over. Trip. Yeah, so I wasn't thinking like a parent, but if I put my parent hat on, I might be a bit reluctant. Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it's all still really bloodless violence. Although
we did have blood, torture, the three fingers across the stormtrooper.
Yeah, and also Poe, after he got had been obviously tortured for some bit, and he's actually got blood on his face.
Yeah, there's not really blood in any of the other movies, even when...
No, Luke loses a hand and it's very bloodless, you know, and Darth Vader loses a hand and it's just wires. I mean,
that's all interesting, yeah.
It is all very bloodless violence, but rewatching Return of the Jedi tonight, I did think about watching that as a seven, I think I was seven, probably 7 years old when I watched that first time, and I was, the rancor in Jabba's palace scared the absolute bejesus out of me. But, you know, and that would probably still scare a kid today.
See, I'm not worried about scare. Like, Disney particularly used to, they're the best at scaring kids, so their early films used to scare kids until they wet themselves, so it was quite normal to go in after the...
Like Snow White.
They'd have to clean up all the piss in the theatre because the kids would be so scared they'd wet themselves.
Yeah, right.
And I think actually there's a long tradition of scaring kids and it's all pretty good, but it's the...
80s movies.
Yeah.
We talked about
we did a whole podcast.
Never-ending story.
Yeah.
They don't do that anymore though.
No.
It's all Pixar.
Yeah, it is. It's all happy and sanitised.
Animated.
Yeah, but there's a difference to me anyway about desensitizing.
Pixar just tries to make you cry. It doesn't try to scare you.
Yeah,
yeah. We're trying to push different buttons. Yeah.
That's right.
Well, they want them to mop up not urine but tears at the end of the when the cinema's closing.
Even like the 90s Disney movies were kind of scary. Like Lion King, people freaked out by the hyenas and Scar and the marching, and then Ursula and
Little Mermaid. Yeah.
Mm. It's all gotten very beige now, hasn't it? It's all just very pleasant, very nice.
I don't know there's anything scary, but it is quite violent, I think, in Force Awakens. That's where that... It's predominantly bloodless violence, but is it maybe just Han's death that's the real kind of... Is that where the M rating lies? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. He's got a lightsaber sticking through him.
There's the whole, like, what do we do with these villages? Kill them all.
Yeah.
Like, that's very wiped warlike. That's very...
That's true.
Yeah. All of them.
We have got a very... We've got a kind of a different perception of all that stuff now, I think, than 20, 30, 40 years ago.
Mm. True. Mm. Does anyone have a favourite bit they just want to talk about?
I really liked the moment when you realised that Rey had the Force, when she resisted the torture, I guess.
Yeah,
because that was before that. There wasn't really any indication, was there?
Had she touched the lightsaber before that?
That was.
Yeah. I just kind of figured just been that a
supercharged
was
lightsaber.
It was actually when she was piloting the Falcon. I went, I think she's got the Force.
Okay, but this is the moment. This is the biggest.
She said something like, "I don't know how I did that."
Yeah, okay.
But they both kind of said.
But that's a hint. This was like the big reveal. Like,
yeah, true.
Like he was in shock. Like, how is she doing this?
That's right, and there's little clues all the way through, isn't there? Because like her mechanical skills are very Anakin, young Anakin.
Yeah, yeah. Young,
so, young
Anakin.
Annie.
I did find that where she's resisting like the Force.
I love that scene.
I felt that got a little bit weird because it just kind of, I felt like it went on for too long of them just kind of staring at each other and like just tweaking their facial expression a little bit.
There's a fair bit of that in this film. Just like camera zooming in, cameras, and then face to face, looking back.
It's face acting. It's all in the face.
Oh, acting.
I thought it was done really well. Yeah. That was the moment I was like, this movie's being well acted.
They're all just ripe for memes, aren't they? It's like my favourite Star Wars meme ever was the one with Luke taking off Darth Vader's helmet, and Darth Vader plays the harmonica.
Piano man.
I reckon there's going to be a fair bit of that because there's a lot of that intensity of just close up.
And I liked Adam, like when Adam Driver took his helmet off, you'd see his face and you're like, ah, oh, it's the guy from Girls or whatever. He doesn't look that threatening. But then he starts talking and I think he did a pretty good job.
I think he was great.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So is that genuine? Is that your favourite bit? Is the...
Awesome. It wasn't my favourite bit.
No,
but
he was one of the best.
Anytime like Finn turns on his lightsaber, it's pretty cool. With that blue glow.
I think it's like the change of scale. So you'd get this realism where you'd see soldiers, stormtroopers and things setting up, ready for... And then the battle would start. So you'd get this little hint that it was all quite real rather than... Even the original Star Wars films didn't do that.
They did gloss over the huge war strategy a little. Like, let's shut down the shields and then we'll blow it up.
That was weird.
That was the gist of the, okay, let's go. And they went out and like...
and did it.
That was the strategy. Yeah.
Well, it had worked in like... Well, it worked in Return of the Jedi. So,
yeah, I guess yeah. so.
But this one was even kind of stranger because it was just like almost a target shape on the side of the planet. But all you had to do was shoot a few times and that was going to blow up the whole planet. So obviously the defense of the... what was it called? The
Starkiller base.
Yeah, the Starkiller base was just to...
Which, is, again, is a throwback to Luke Skywalker's name originally was going to be Luke Starkiller.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little reference to that.
Ah,
but nerd I did, fact. Yeah, there's a little super Star Wars nerd fact. But I did like it. It wasn't just like fly down a trench, hit a little target and, you know, that kind of thing. It was, well, we've shot this a lot. It still won't blow up. Hopefully there's someone else who can blow it up and that someone else has to go in and do some stuff and try and blow it up a bit more. And it was, you know, this progression of slowly, how do we blow the crap out of this thing?
But it was, you know, you can't help but think... There's a whole war planet. This is a planet full of war machines, and they sent out, what, 20 little TIE fighters?
20 X-Wings?
Yeah.
To repel the X-Wing attack?
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure there's a lot more that they could have thrown at that. They're like, that's the most sensitive spot on the whole planet. let's send out 20 TIE fighters.
Yeah.
Probably could have done a better job, couldn't they? Whoever was sending out the TIE fighters that day definitely got fired.
The Empire's not really been big on their defensive strategy.
No, they haven't.
No. Logistics.
Or the First Order? Is that what they're called now?
They're much more into making good helmets.
They
look a bit streamlined than your Stormtrooper helmets.
I wonder if visibility's improved in them.
Oh, you'd hope so.
Because I feel like original Stormtrooper helmets, visibility's not great. You know, when you... There's not a lot of peripherals going on. You can't really see your feet.
There's no peripheral. There's no neck movement. So you're going to be working your back a lot just to check things out around you.
Mm. Back strain is a big problem with Stormtroopers.
I like the humor of this film too.
That was excellent.
Good job.
Like, it was good.
With Finn talking about the Force and Han saying, that's not how it works. That was a great moment.
Han got a lot of zingers.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of throwbacks to, like, even just little in-jokes, like talking about 14 parsecs and little things for the fan service. I thought they did.
Yeah, and someone had to say, I got a bad feeling about this.
Well, yeah.
It's his wife.
It's a Trap wasn't in there, was it?
No. They'll save that for, like, episode 9.
Reference to Trash Compactor, getting thrown in a Trash Compactor. Good. That was great.
And then Han saying, you know, something about, like, I help all the time, and Leia said, don't count the Death Star or whatever. That was quite funny.
Yep.
All of that was excellent. So that was a real return, because I think I was watching all of the films with my kids, and we were looking at why the newer ones, the last new ones, didn't work, and it was chemistry, poor acting, but even things like music. The music was just way off. Like, they just kind of ditched the original soundtrack or the original score.
Yeah, I don't know. I think John Williams did his job pretty well in the first one.
Duel of Fates
is pretty cool. It's a piece of music. And the many variations on the Vader theme.
We didn't have that in this. We had like a tiny snippet of the Imperial March in one of the...
Looking at the helmet, was it?
Yeah.
It was all ghostly.
But yeah, we've got back to that original score that's got like Leia's got her own song and Han's got his own kind of music, and those cues work really well.
They do.
Yeah.
So look, and that sort of, there's another thing that we noticed was that in the newer ones from 15 years ago, everything's at kind of mid shot. There's a lot of mid shot and distant shots.
Yeah.
And there's none of that really close up intimacy and banter and.
Yeah.
You just don't feel for the characters of.
Yeah.
You know, Ewan McGregor and all the rest.
There was a lot of. Kind of humor in the early ones, but it was kind of slapstick,
and it was
humor,
just a bit
very child. And this one had more of that. I want to say like Joss Whedon Avengers kind of quips and that kind of thing.
That would have turned me right off. So
I didn't mention Joss Whedon in front of Gareth. This is like we argue about this all the time.
Is that not a similar comparison?
Yeah. So I'm a big believer that I think Joss Whedon has had a surprisingly big influence on the way.
Yes.
Humor is used in modern blockbusters now, I think. But that's a whole nother discussion. I don't want to get in with Gareth sitting here looking at me like that. So,
I've broached a topic here.
But one of the other things too, I mean, just to talk about prequels, I didn't even think about the whole lack of close-ups and stuff, but, you know, there's a real, just another level of filmmaking, as I said before, in this, but also just reliance on the real world and real sets and not just green screen and the crap out of everything. You really feel like you're
in places. Like the market on Jakku.
That was great.
That was pretty cool. And then,
And then the
green forest.
The planet where Maz's cantina is.
That temple was really cool.
Much more real, much more connected. Much more accessible. I mean, this was kids picking up about those. When we watched like all six in a row, mind you, some of the, like the, what's that bloody race in the
pod race?
The pod race. Well, we had fast forward on through that and things like that.
But the sound in the pod racing is so strange.
I love the pod race.
It's no like music one of our, it's in the pod race.
Yeah, no, you just get those cool engines. I love the soundscape of the pod race. But how each pod has its own sounds and they're all different. And yeah, I like the sound editing, the sound mixing of that scene.
It always made weirded me out the way that there was no music during that race. I just felt there was something wrong with my TV.
I felt there was something wrong with George Lucas.
Yeah.
Well, there is. I'm so glad that this was taken out of his hands.
This gives me who so knows much what hope that got. Like Disney can do something with Indiana Jones now.
Ironically, this for us tragic older nerds, this is a new hope.
It is. Yeah, I feel like the future. Now that we know what the story is, we can kind of take calculated guesses at what the next two films will be. But yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited for the rest.
You're excited. And I just feel these nipples.
I just saw Creed, you know, and that got me amped. Yeah. That was another episode 7. And it did a similar thing of paying tribute to the originals with a lot of callbacks, but just injecting a new like style and modern feel to it.
Yeah. Because what I really liked about Creed was it felt like it could stand alone.
Yeah.
But it's got all these little touches of throwback to the previous Rocky films. But does The Force Awakens, does it feel like it could really stand alone? Like, do you feel like kids could jump into this and go, this is the first Star Wars film I've seen and it makes sense on its own? Or is it there too much history here?
I think so, because there's a lot of, the main characters of this movie are new characters. Right,
except for Han, who is in it a hell of a lot.
Yeah, but I feel like even though if kids haven't seen all of the movies, they're gonna have an idea of who they are. Like they're gonna know bits and pieces just by osmosis, as we've talked about before.
I thought he was a myth.
Yeah,
I did feel like we were cutting them a lot of slack. Like I felt like Han and Carrie Fisher in particular. And I don't know if it's because I know so much about their personal lives. I've seen them in other roles now, and whereas, you know, in the early days I hadn't.
Yeah.
Didn't know anything and all of that.
They were nobodies at the time.
Yeah, but I felt like we were really paying homage to them in this. And if it wasn't for that, I felt like they were a bit cardboard and a bit slow, like a bit...
Leia definitely looks a bit more... Botox, maybe that's what it is.
I think she was just a little bit lost of like, I don't know. I think it was more, it seemed like Carrie Fisher didn't know what that character was anymore. A little bit, and
but I
hadn't got a head around who Princess Leia or General Organa is now.
And Harrison looked a bit dazed and confused.
Well,
I thought he jumped right in.
I thought
he was in an old comfy pair of shoes.
Yeah, I thought he pulled the jacket on. Nice. Apparently it's a new jacket. Yeah. But I thought he nailed that really well. It's like, oh, okay, that's what Han Solo would really be like. Yeah, maybe slightly a little bit befuddled. He's a little bit older. A little slightly daffy kind of thing. But that felt like Han Solo to me. Whereas I don't think anyone has figured out what Leia is now or who she is now.
Well, that could be an interesting thing. So if you're a young person coming in, because you know it's often spoken about when you hit, what is it, 30 or 40, you don't get gigs in big roles anymore. You know, men tend to, I think, more often than women. But so as a young person, you might actually be a really good thing to see Carrie Fisher for the first time when she's, what, 60 now?
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. Mm. Well, Harrison Ford's 72.
73, yeah, 73.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
It's incredible. His hair's very white now. He looks old.
Yeah.
Like when he was running in that, what was that big ship that they thought the stormtroopers were going to come in, but it turned out to be Han and...
So that was that was their ship. That was what they were flying around in, doing smuggling jobs.
Yeah, but why did they think it was going to be stormtroopers?
I don't know. Maybe it's an ex-Empire ship or something.
Okay. Well, anyway, when he was running through that, he definitely looked like he was, you know, struggling.
Yeah, they only ever showed Harrison Ford running for like 5 steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. And then he like sort of take off for 5 steps, cut. Yeah. You know, he's not moving real good these days.
See, in Indiana,
but to be fair though, he did break his ankle on the like first day of shooting day of shooting. So he had to go and recover from that, and was in a plane. I think after shooting finished, it was in a plane crash. But yeah, but he did break his leg basically just before it started. In Crystal's
Skull, he was quite, you know, athletic for his age.
It's a lot of stuntmen work in there.
Yeah, I know, but you still felt like he could, you know.
Maybe it was also take a bump. But just remember, that's nearly 10 years ago now.
Yeah, I guess so.
And it would be hard to just pretend to be outrunning the plant from Little Shop of Horrors, which was pretty much what those monsters looked like. Yeah. That was probably the worst moment of the film for my...
I was just about to ask what was the worst bit. Is that whole sequence was a little bit odd, wasn't it?
Oh, it was just dumb. And those weird mouth creatures with tentacles, like I expected them to go, feed me, Seymour!
They were kind of like mini Sarlacc, weren't they?
They were a bit, yeah. Maybe baby Sarlacc. Yeah. Oh, is that what did he call them?
I thought he said raptors to start with. But it was like raptor or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so all of a sudden, what I found strange about that is not only Han and Chewie found the Millennium Falcon and took it on board their ship, but suddenly these two rival gangs who have been tracking him turn up at the same time to, you know, just this weird kind of confluence of events all happening. In the middle of... It's a very big galaxy.
The Force works in mysterious ways.
Yeah, but that's...
You can always come back to it's because of the Force.
Yeah.
It wanted to bring them together for that purpose.
But I think that...
Midichlorians?
Yeah, it was all the midichlorians at work.
I think that was the only bit of the script that really irked me, I think.
Okay.
I'm with you completely. It was just a really strange, dumb moment that... Because when you get the moment like that, you're back out of the cinema. You're like, you're looking at your watch going, what the hell? And it just wrecks the whole flow.
Yeah. So it didn't quite pull me out that far, but it did make me go, well, there's a simpler way to do this rather than just... we need a set piece here. We need some kind of action thing to happen. And this is what we're going to do. We're just going to throw all this stuff at it and that's
it. Yeah, and if you want to return to the Han Solo character, then by all means, bring on a bounty hunter, you know. One of the Fett family or something. You know,
or a hut turns up or
something. Yeah, totally. There's ways to do it, but what they did was...
So was there anything that was missing that you guys were expecting or hoping for?
There was stuff that I was hoping for and there was stuff that I was fearing. I was fearing, you know, a lot more of that CGI stuff. And I guess I was, in a little way, I was fearing this kind of reboot. I was hoping for a new direction... and I didn't really get that. There wasn't much new or unexpected, at least in my sort of you know, hypotheses of 1, 2, and 3.
Sure.
Which, as you spoke about, you nailed it before you know, after the first preview, we kind of knew what to expect and a lot.
I don't think there's anything missing. As much as I was really amped for it and had really high expectations, I didn't put my expectations on specific things.
Yeah, right.
I wasn't trying to second guess plot before I went in. And even to the point right up to where Han gets killed, I still didn't believe that would happen.
What do you think was going to happen when they were standing there in the middle of the cabin?
Well, I don't...
I think this is a convenient place for you to come back.
I'm really bad. When I'm watching movies, I never see twists coming. I never pick twists or any kind of plot points. I'm always trying to be just in the moment and not thinking ahead. So if ever I do see one of them, I go, "Oh, that must have been bad."
Like M. Night Shyamalan.
Well, yeah. If I pick something, If I picked it, something.
My dog barking to signal.
That's Indy.
It's Indiana Bones.
Indiana Bones. I didn't see that was going to happen. But I'm notoriously bad at that. If I do see it coming, it means it's a really bad.
Because that thing was pretty damn. Mm. Oh yes.
I thought pleasantly naive about that stuff, I think. But
the only other way it was going to go was that he was going to stop being a bad guy.
Yeah, you can't have that.
No. Like, that would be the worst
bad guy. Unless it's like, I'll let you go, but don't come back here.
You know, the next film could have been like him in some sort of Jedi rehab where he's trying to, good, am I good, am I bad? You know.
Yeah. He was all teared up. It was done very well.
Because
even though I was expecting it, it still had me like, no, it's not going to happen. It happened.
Mm.
It was one of the most affected that I've ever felt by death. I didn't cry or anything, but
I've felt way more affected than that. Mm. Actually, the bit that
it's Han.
Yeah, I know, but the bit that got me a bit more about it was later on when Chewie's just kind of like sort of sitting there. They're back at the Rebel base, and Chewie's just kind of sitting there, and he's kind of like does this weird kind of sniff thing, and it's like
I didn't notice that. That's why I said he grieved pretty quickly.
There was a bit where Chewie had a moment.
It was underplayed.
Yeah, and it was really not, and I went, poor Chewie. Like, I really felt for him then, and I felt more in that moment than when Han actually died.
Right.
When Han died, I think I was actually in shock. I just went, no, they did. And they made sure of it, like, he'd fallen off the edge, yeah.
Well, but maybe.
No. If you don't see the dead body, they can always come back. Exactly.
Do you think Chewie likes human men?
What, like, in a sexual way?
Well, he's been hanging out with Han for a long time.
They're friends, Gareth.
He had a life. They just got life oath.
Yeah, a life debt. Yeah, life a Wookiee life debt. So the backstory is apparently, and I don't know if this is canon anymore.
He's going to the backstory right now.
But Han saved Chewie's life. Chewie was a slave to the Empire.
Right.
Han was originally a stormtrooper.
I don't know if this is real.
This was this is expanded. This is a dream. Part of an expanded universe. Part of it's maybe not.
Like a dream, anyway. Han was a stormtrooper.
Han was in the Imperial Academy originally, apparently. And he saved
Big
Chewbacca from the Empire. He was a slave because Wookiees were enslaved by the Empire.
Yeah.
So there's heaps of Wookiees out there with life debts.
Yes.
And what was Jar Jar Binks? Because he had one of them too, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Missy, your humble servant. Yeah. He said.
Missy, your humble servant.
Practicing that? That's a bit weird.
Matt likes to do his little voices on
podcast. Yeah. I just throw them away. I think John has banned me from doing Yoda impersonations.
Yeah, I don't like those ones.
Actually, I was talking to someone before going to see the movie, and they said, oh, is Yoda in it?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, he died in episode 6. It's like, yeah, but you know, that didn't stop Obi-Wan from being 5 and 6.
We didn't have any ghosts.
Good point.
So, that was one of the things I predicted. We didn't have any ghosts.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Ghost of Qui-Gon. Ghost of Obi-Wan.
Ghost of Jar Jar.
Ghost of Anakin, who doesn't know what age the ghost is.
Yeah.
I'm going to be old now. I'm going to be young.
Yeah. And no Lando Calrissian cameo. That's got to be happening in the next ones.
Him and Chewie are like... be doing cult 45s in the bar on Mos Eisley or something.
Yeah. Or, you know, hanging out after the wake after Han's funeral.
Yeah, they will have a funeral in the next one, definitely. That will be the opening.
Chewie's been saved a few times, so does he have to go on to the next? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Lando saved him before, so he probably has to go on to Lando's life debt now.
How many stars?
You're the final reviewer here. Yeah, okay. I don't know. I don't think I can give it 5.
No.
It just doesn't feel right. It's a solid 4. It's definitely a solid 4.
It was everything that I personally wanted from Star Wars.
It's pushing 4.5. I want to go back. I want to see it again.
Mm.
I walked out and...
if I could afford it, I would.
The worst thing is... I quit smoking like 8 months ago. I walked out of the movie and really wanted a cigarette really bad. And I don't know what that says or what the feeling is. But aside from that feeling of wanting a smoke, I wanted to walk back in there and sit down and watch it again.
You watched Star Wars, you felt post-coital, and you were ready to go back in again.
Yeah. It made sweet, sweet love to me. So I was ready to have a quick smoke and go again. Yeah.
The best thing of all is that it didn't suck. so we can all just be relieved.
Yeah, that is the take-home message.
Yeah.
Is that because the prequel set us bar so low?
Well, that's been the huge fear of Star Wars fans is, what if it's not good?
That's the final line of fanboys.
What if it sucks?
Yeah. So I think it's a 4, but I think I will watch it again a couple of times here, but I think it's going to be more like the prequels than the original 4, 5, and 6, which I watch repeatedly. Like, I've probably watched them at least once a year.
I felt like there was enough cool moments that I would want to watch it again as soon as it comes out.
So you can see yourself watching it again in 10 years' time?
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah. I haven't watched the prequels for about 10 years.
No, because they're bad.
Yeah.
I watched the prequels. In the last few years, I've watched the prequels more than I've watched 4, 5, and 6.
But you're a little strange.
Yeah, but because they're still kind of a novelty. Like, I've seen the original trilogy so many times that even watching Return of the Jedi tonight before seeing this was... like, I know all this. I'm looking it for little weird things in the background. I'm not...
Yeah, right.
It's just so ingrained in my memory. I could watch it in my head without the film being on. Whereas the prequels I watch and go... oh, yeah, that's interesting, or that's bad, or, you know, it's still kind of novel to watch them.
Yeah.
Mm. They're so bad.
Mm. So you guys didn't say what your favourite moments were.
Well, I was just trying to think then, like, what's the iconic... Okay, so it's not going to be held in the same regard as 4, 5 and 6.
Mm.
But what's the iconic moment of it that would make it... you know, that's going to be the classic moment of it within looking at the Star Wars saga. Each of the Star Wars films, even the prequels, have some sort of moment in them. You know, in the first one, it's either the pod race or it's the fight with Darth Maul.
Yeah.
In the second one, it's Yoda going nuts and fighting Count Dooku.
Yeah.
In the third one, it's the final lightsaber battle.
I have the higher ground.
It's basically all the lightsaber battles in the prequels. In this,
they didn't rely on the stunt of the lightsaber battle.
No, but in this moment, in this film, I think the key moment is Han's death. That's the best moment in the film, I think.
Probably.
Mm. For me, it's just, I guess if it was like a moment, it's actually the moment where what's her name again? The chick?
Ray.
So Ray's, been selling off bits of junk, and she's flying across the desert in that little scooter thing she drives, and you can see all of the crashed. I know it's been in the previews and things, but that's really evocative, and it kind of sums up a lot of the film, but it hints at something new as well.
Yeah, that's a big thing I got, especially with the stuff that's on Jakku. It feels like a lived in world, and one of the problems with the prequels was it made the universe feel small. It compressed it all somehow, like especially the like things like 3PO's built by Anakin and all this kind of stuff. But it just made the universe feel really small. This one made it feel really big, in just small little ways by there being lots of different races and species and the world feeling like having a practical sense to it and a realistic sense to it, particularly the stuff on Jakku and the cantina as well.
Absolutely. The creatures were quite robotic, a lot of them this time too. Like they were really hybrids. In the early films, they were either robot or they were weird.
And there's so many. Looked like most of the alien species were practical effects as well, which is brilliant. Yeah. Aside from Maz or whatever it is.
Whatever, green, the orange. Goggle chicken.
Orange proto Yoda as well, yeah.
Somewhere in the world, someone's auctioning off those props and costumes now and making a mint.
And you want them. You want to buy
them all.
So the big mystery is for the next movie. Obviously, Luke. Why? Who is Rey? And why does she need to go back to Jakku?
Well, she just thought she had to go back because her parents are going to turn up.
Who are her parents?
Who is Rey? That's a good question.
Yeah, who is Rey?
But also, who is Finn?
He's a stormtrooper.
but he's been kidnapped and indoctrinated.
Yeah, there's something going on there, isn't there? Because he has this innate sense of right.
So you think he might actually have some Jedi in him?
Well, no, not necessarily that, but I just feel like he has a backstory. I really hope it's not that he's related to Lando Calrissian, because that would, again, make the universe too small. But
Kylo Ren's a big mystery, because he's now been left quite wounded and beaten up with a big scar across his face.
Yeah, see, when I was talking about him having that inferiority complex, now he's been humiliated. I wonder if he'll be honest about what happened. But he definitely got beaten up.
Mm.
His sword got driven into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the controversy over the lightsaber with the hand guard didn't seem to make much difference.
Yeah.
Didn't seem to make much difference.
No, I really dug that lightsaber design. I think it's really cool.
I think he's bloody lucky not to have lost a finger with it.
I think it's going to protect your hand.
It wasn't very significant.
Like, if you've got... Okay, let's say you don't have those protectors. I just want to have this with Gareth while he's here. So, let's say you don't have that little protective bit. Okay, so you've got both lightsaber battle, two lightsabers. You put your lightsabers together. Why don't more Jedi's just go slide down? Down the beam, bam, there's all your fingers gone.
I don't understand the physics behind lightsabers, man.
But if you're in a fight...
Maybe they don't slide very well.
Just maybe some electromagnetic energy friction that keeps them... Yeah, maybe
just... It's just such a move. And there's half your fingers gone.
What are you, like a physics professor on lightsabers?
I've thought a lot about using lightsabers.
Have you ever done that thing where you swing a sword around when it's got the hilt on it? The pommel, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
And it rubs along here. If that's a giant flame, there's not going to be much left at the top of your arm.
Yeah, but the actual handle of it is like this long. I'm making about a foot, slightly under. You don't have to have your hand right near the top there.
Yeah, this thing's asking for trouble.
Mm. Yeah. One last question.
Yep.
Then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Out of Kylo Ren and Rey, who do you think has more midichlorians?
You jerk. That's it. I'm out. I'm done. I quit.
This is a stupid one.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for listening. As always, let us know what you thought of Star Wars. Recommend this to a friend. You can catch up with us on Twitter. Matt's at Dr. Matt Neal. I'm at Jono himself, and Gareth is.
Are you on Twitter?
I think I am.
You are. I think we follow each other.
Yeah.
It's probably at
Just search Collison for Gareth Collison and you'll find him.
Yeah. He's kind of famous.
Yeah. May the Force be with you.